Good morning, welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass on the third Sunday of Advent. Our condolences today go to the family of Pam Wilson, one of our parishioners. Pam suffered a stroke in the last couple of days and died earlier this morning at the age of 59. So condolences to her husband, Brian, and especially the family members that are with us at this Mass today. Our prayers are with you in the days to come. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Please remember on the Wednesdays of Advent, we have our special activities. We have the confessions at 5:30, Mass at 6. And before the Mass, we have special music by students in Bishop Kelly High School. Then we have a meal in the parish hall around 6:30, and all are welcome to take part. And please know I'll be available to hear confessions only on Wednesday night this week. I'll be here helping to hear confessions at neighboring parishes the other weeknights. This is the third Sunday of Advent, and traditionally referred to as Gaudete Sunday. That's the Latin word that translates in English as rejoice. That's what we hear in the opening antiphon, and that theme that is repeated throughout the scriptures we hear from Mass this morning. So that's why we light now the third candle on the Advent wreath, and that pink, or rather rose, excuse me, colored candle, and wear the rose-colored vestments as well, as a reminder that the time of Advent is drawing to a close as we now prepare to celebrate for the celebration of Christmas. And for some of us, the Christmas gifts have already started coming in. I've had several that have been dropped off at the parish office, and also the rectory now is decorated. Last Sunday, some of the middle school and high school youth and their parents came over to the house. And as I did last year, I pulled out all of the boxes that labeled Christmas decorations, and I said, "Surprise me." And they do. And especially last year when I came in and saw what they had done and saw garlands and lights hanging in places, and I looked up and I noticed that there were nails that had been driven in to places where, you know, just small ones, that's all okay. It looks very nice, as you can't, you know, when the decorations are down, you can hardly tell that they're there. But I imagine it's much the same in your home as well. You've been probably decorating for Christmas, or soon will be, and probably had some of the first Christmas cards have already arrived. Now, we'll hold off decorating inside the church and the chapel until after the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. Of course, for Christmas, the greatest decoration of all will be you, as you come to this church on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to celebrate the incarnation, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. And I invite you, if you've not done so already, to invite people that you know who have no other church home to come and be with us. Invite people that you know who are Catholic, for whatever reason, or not active in their faith, to come and to be with us to make this church as beautiful as possible. Because a church is never more beautiful than when it's full of people united in faith and prayer, particularly for the offering of the Mass. So that's what we look forward to on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. To celebrate the incarnation, the Word of God made flesh to live among us, to be like one of us in all things but sin, as our Redeemer through his cross and resurrection. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, in one way, the first Christmas gift has arrived today, and it's okay if we open it up a little early. It's addressed to us, and it's directly from God Almighty in the person of John the Baptist, that great Advent saint. He comes to prepare the way for Jesus. He's been sent by God to do so. He recognizes that he is not the light, but rather he comes to give testimony, to give witness to the light of Christ that's come into the world. And he does so in a way that is not safe or feel-good message, but rather a message that it calls to repent from sin, so as to welcome Christ to make straight that way in our hearts, so that the light, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, Jesus, can come to us. Advent is far from being a time of nice, warm, and fuzzy feelings. If you want that, it's called the holiday season. And it's going to hit you as soon as you walk out the door of the church. All the nice, warm, and fuzzy stuff. But rather, Advent is different. Advent is a special time in which we are challenged by the likes of John the Baptist. And if we are truly to welcome Jesus when he comes again in his second advent, to welcome him without fear, and if we are to rejoice in remembering the first advent at Christmas, then it's time to acknowledge that we are in need of turning away from sin, that we are worthy to be bought back for God by Jesus, that we can't save ourselves, that we need Jesus in the incarnation. That's the challenge of Advent. And to see this and to live it out is to listen to that voice that's crying out in the desert. To listen to that voice, the voice of John the Baptist, instead of the voice of the holiday season. It is to listen to the voice telling us that the anxiety and restlessness in our hearts will not be satisfied by anything we buy in a store or that we can get online. They're only satisfied in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to dwell among us for our salvation. It is to listen to the voice crying out in the desert telling us that if we chase after the usual suspects of power, status, wealth, and pleasure above all else, we will lose our souls. What profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose himself in doing so? Jesus says that elsewhere in the Gospels. It is to listen to the voice crying out in the desert, telling us that the only true security and safety is not found in any earthly power or authority, not in any king, not in any emperor, president, Congress, or parliament, not in any form of government, even our own, not in any economic system, even our own, not in any military force, even our own. It's found that true security and safety is found only in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And to think otherwise, to do otherwise, is an act of idolatry. That's the voice crying out to us in the desert. And we are called to listen to that voice. Not to listen to this voice also means that we will not recognize the one who comes after John the Baptist. We will not recognize Jesus, whose very name means God saves. He is the glad tidings to the poor, who heals the brokenness of our hearts, frees us from the imprisonment of our sins. Advent challenges us to see that the stakes are set high, to make straight the way of the Lord, so that we can be made anew in Jesus by living out an ongoing Advent, an ongoing preparation to welcome Christ, to welcome, receive, and to share the gift of the ongoing incarnation, the Word taking flesh among us, profoundly as it is today in the offering of this Mass and the gift of the Eucharist. To make straight the way of the Lord, that we are redeemable, lovable, forgivable in the eyes of God, who gives us the gift of John the Baptist, that voice of the desert, who gives us the gift of Jesus, the Word made flesh, so that we may believe and be saved. To rejoice always in these gifts that remake us in spirit, soul, and body, to conform our life to that of Jesus, to prepare us for the coming of the Lord, so that we, as His church, can be that voice. To be the voice of John the Baptist, that same message crying out in the desert, testifying to the light of Christ, the light that has come into the world, so that all people may hear and see and believe.